Welcome to a Monday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, Dwayne Wade is back, and we'll be joined by Sports Illustrated's Rohan Nadkarni to talk about the reaction from Heat fans.
And what this means for the Miami Heat, and what Eric Spoelstra will do with so many guards on the roster. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we break down every news item, rumor, game, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
I'm David Ramil, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
Friend of the program, Rohan Nadkarni, will be on with us in a little bit. We'll talk about some of the cap implications, what the lineup's going to look like. Well, let's start with the basics, David. How much do you think Dwayne Wade has left? Because that was his question, or you've got to think, based on that video that he put out. And among the questions he had is, does he have enough left in the tank for another 82-game season, plus hopefully the playoffs, right? And he's come to the conclusion that he thinks so, but based on what you saw last year, what more does Dwayne Wade have to give?
I think he's got plenty, to be honest with you. I know there's off-the-court stuff that we'll obviously get into a little bit later, and I think that's a big component of what makes Dwayne so valuable to the franchise. I mean, look, from a financial perspective, jersey sales are going to continue to go through the roof, as we saw through last year. He gave the team a substantial discount from what we expected or what was reported that he might be interested in. But there's also real consistent play there. Well, maybe not consistent. That might not be the right word, but potential, you know, moments of greatness from him that I think bring an edge to this team. He knows how to create plays for others. There was an obvious chemistry there with Hassan Whiteside, which could play to be a significant part of what defines this season. I think he's going to be a great ball handler, an additional ball handler, an experienced guy. Probably at this point, in addition to maybe Dion Waiters, probably the best guy on this roster as far as being able to get to the free throw line. A problem for Miami over the most recent seasons. So I think that's a huge thing for them. Look, his three-point shooting is never going to be a part of his arsenal, but he's got the long jumper. He's got plays that he can create for others. He knows how to drive to the basket, make open plays for guys that are cutting alongside him, maybe finish up at the basket a la Hassan Whiteside or others. So that's, as far as the on-the-court stuff, it's just, I think he's going to be a major factor, to be honest with you.
I think the basketball fit is actually pretty good. From what we saw last year, you know, there are moments, obviously, where Eric Spoelstra has a tendency to lean on Dwayne Wade in the final couple minutes of a game, you know, a close game and things like that. And, hey, look, it worked for one Philadelphia Sixers playoff win. It didn't work for a lot of other games. But you know what? I don't know. The problem, it's not like the Heat have another end of the shot clock type of guy to go to, when, especially when Dion Waiters was so hurt, and when it, and frankly, Dion Waiters is not that good at it. You know, he's not the most efficient fourth quarter clutch time player. I mean, we all remember the shot against the Warriors, just like we all remember the shot at, you know, Wade's shot against the Sixers. They're few and far between. And that's the case, by the way, for any fourth quarter player. I mean, those shots are just they're high in difficulty in general, but other than that, you know, other than those sort of bumps at the end of the game, who gets the ball, what kind of offense are you running, are you going ISO, are you doing more ball movement, like the Heat were accustomed to doing before Dwayne Wade got back, they still got to work that part out. That part needs to be smoothed out, and Eric Spoelstra probably needs to go more to that ball movement heavy type of offense, because again, nobody, including Dwayne Wade, is so good right now that they can be just that isolation guy that you rely on at the end of the shot clock, at the end of a game. But at the same time, you know, I think that you mentioned the chemistry with Whiteside. That makes sense. I still think he can run the best pick and roll on the team with him. And a big part of Miami's success this season will be trying to implement Hassan Whiteside best they can and sort of get him to come back into what the Heat were hoping he would be as a rim runner, shot blocking type of guy. But then there's, you know, the Goran Dragic question. How does he get along with him? They have enough time now that you hope they figure that out. Is he ever on the court with Dion Waiters? Is he on the court with Justice Winslow? I don't mind the fit with Justice so much, because Dwayne Wade is such a talented off-ball player that, right, I think it'll work. I think the basketball fit is there. But to go back to that original question about how much does he have left in the tank, there's also a little bit of a narrative that he left Cleveland just because he was old and washed up, where that wasn't the case at all. He was probably Cleveland's best player off the bench last season. But
yeah, he was a great backup point guard, probably one of the best backup point guards in the league. And I think Scott Rafferty had written something about that for Fansided, which a great, really detailed piece about why he was so effective. And we saw that in spurts when he came to Miami. He was able to create plays for others as a backup point guard, basically.
Yeah, and that shows that tells me, look, you played a very important role for two different teams last year. Why wouldn't he have more left in the tank? You know, it's not like, again, he didn't leave Cleveland because he was washed up. He left Cleveland because there was locker room issues and they needed a major culture shift. And Dwayne Wade was part of a clique with LeBron that just wasn't quite working with the rest of that group. And so you let him go. He comes to Miami and he plays a major part for that Heat team. Again, Miami probably gets swept in the playoffs if not for Dwayne Wade, right?
Absolutely. I think that's 100% accurate.
So with all that in mind, I do think Dwayne Wade still has a lot left. I think this is going to actually be a pretty productive year for him. You know, we're going to talk to Rohan a little bit more about, you know, what that looks and feels like, right, as just kind of Heat fans getting a chance to watch him for one more season. But, you know, there is going to be a love for the game type thing that will probably be very refreshing compared to last year's kind of like herky-jerky up and down kind of roller coaster of a season for him. You know, obviously between going and then just last couple of years between going from Miami to Chicago for, you know, basically a contract, then going from Chicago to Cleveland to chase a ring, finally landing back in South Beach, back in Miami, just to play on a team where he was valued, where he just wasn't quite as valued no matter where else he went. And I think there's going to be a little bit more of that love for the game kind of thing going on. And I think that's where Dwayne Wade's going to thrive. And I think that it'll even reinvigorate him a little bit, even if it's just for one more season, which is all he's really going to need.
Yeah, you know, one of the things he mentioned in the 10-minute video where he announced his intention to come back to Miami was that he didn't want to leave anything left in the tank, that he wanted to give it his all. And that's not to say that he wasn't doing that last year, but at this point in his career, at this point of his age, you have to kind of pace yourself a little bit. But if you're not playing for next season, you're not playing for anything beyond however far you can possibly go, I could see him sacrificing a little bit more of his body for the sake of this season.
It's the full-on sprint at the end of the race once you see the finish line, right? Like, after that, all I need to do is drink a beer. Like, I'm just going to give it all I got right now.
Yeah, he's got another 60, 70 years to hang out with Gabriel Union and his kids. I mean, I think he can possibly make the most of this one last year and do everything he can to possibly help his team reach a little bit deeper into the playoffs than they expected, to be honest with you. So I'm curious to see if some of that translates. Look, I mean, we've talked about it before. I personally have seen that there's been a transformation from Dwayne as far as a little bit more willing to accept a mentoring role, a little bit more maturity, I think, that comes at this point in his career. You know, I talked to him in August, and you know, he seemed really grateful for that opportunity and you know, proud to be a member of the Heat. And you know, I think we've seen that kind of evolution over the course of the career. And I think it's going to be fantastic to watch, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how that balance plays out as far as whether or not this is going to be an actual farewell tour or not. I think it'll be a lot more similar to what Kobe Bryant experienced a couple seasons ago. But at the same time, I think he's still going to be able to provide and produce at a pretty high level.
And, you know, it's worth mentioning that he might not be as good as he was in spurts, like in that 2014 season, but he's in better shape than he was, or he's healthier, I should say, than he was in that 2014 season. I mean, he hasn't had the knee issues, really, knock on wood, but has not had the knee issues, really, like he had those last couple of years of the Big Three Heat. You know, he's been working out like crazy. That's one of the things you and I kept kind of pointing to on his Instagram, is like, this, he's not working out like a dude that's about to just spend the rest of his days in Napa Valley drinking Cabernet with Gabriel Union, right? Like, this is a guy who is working out with the intent of playing again, and it seems like he is going to play again. But let's take a quick break. We'll be joined by Rohan up next. But first, fantasy football is underway, and we have two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And then Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day. Monday, we've got Tom Kazinich, something like that. Tuesdays, Eric Edholm. Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff, and Tyler Lochner. Really, really good place for you to get all of your fantasy football advice that you might need for your fantasy football season, if you're into that sort of thing. And while we're here, we all love to have a night out if you're not playing fantasy football, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team with Vivid Seats. You can attend that concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events that you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice if you know exactly where you want to sit. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, or download the Vivid Seats app on whatever phone that you use. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. That's really important when you're buying tickets for stuff. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theaters and more, Vivid Seats has it all. You want to go see Dwayne Wade in his last season at American Airlines Arena? Do it at Vivid Seats. Download the app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, one word, LOCKEDON, for $20 off orders, $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime, like seeing Dwayne Wade in his final season. Let Vivid Seats help you get your favorite live event. We're joined today by Rohan Nadkarni of Sports Illustrated and frequent guest of the show, and we're talking all about Dwayne Wade, who over the weekend announced that he's returning for his 16th season. He's going to sign a $2.4 million deal to stay with the Heat, which is less than the MLE that a lot of us expected that was not only reserved for him, but that he'd be seeking, right, in order to come back. But no, he takes the 2.4, about half of what the full mid-level exception is worth. That saves Miami a little bit in the luxury tax for those that are interested in that. But moreover, Dwayne Wade's coming back, and that's what's important here. And I know, Rohan, you're really excited just about watching more Dwayne Wade this season. What was your immediate reaction when you saw the news?
My immediate reaction was I was mad that we didn't get the announcement in Sports Illustrated. honestly, you know, I'm just excited. I think people are, I think, already overthinking it. You know, how is he going to play? How is he going to fit in? It just doesn't matter. You know, 15 years from now, it won't matter if the Heat made it to the first or second round this season. I think what will matter more is just having that last year for Dwayne Wade, you know, him getting the farewell tour that he deserves. I'm just really excited. You know, I was already telling some coworkers, it doesn't matter if they lose every game. I just want to see him play as much as possible. It's really crazy to think that, hey, it's been 16 years. You know, I'm sure all of us here have watched his whole career. The fact that it's been that long, and then beyond that, the fact that it's coming to an end. I can't imagine the NBA without him. So a lot is going through my mind already. But more than anything, I'm just excited to give him the send-off that he deserves.
So do you think that this season should be basically dedicated to watching as much Dwayne Wade as possible? I mean, obviously the team would prefer to be in playoff contention. We don't know what his role is going to be on the team, whether he'll start, whether he'll play alongside Deion Waiters, whether he'll back up Waiters. But given what we know about the fact that this is Wade's last dance, as he himself said, should this be the focal point for the season? Because he already said that he didn't want a farewell tour. He compared himself to Kobe. He said he's not cut from that same cloth. But clearly, he does want kind of a farewell tour. Should Miami go ahead and give him that?
It's not a farewell tour. It's a last dance, David. It's different.
Okay.
Listen, I don't think the team obviously should throw away the season in any sense, you know, just because it's Wade's last year. I think obviously they still have goals. You still want to see development from guys like Josh and Justice and Bam. But, you know, at the same time, I think Spo has a better perspective on these things now than maybe he did in the past. I think going through the experience of that big three, you know, era, and now kind of switching to something like this where the pressure is a lot different, I think he can appreciate what it means to have someone like Dwayne back for one last go around. I think he understands what it means to the fan. I mean, according to reports, it sounds like he was the one of people who kind of helped him get back into it. So, you know, I think they certainly have to find a balance. I'm not saying that they should just look at the season as a lost cause, but you know, let's not get overly serious. I think he can be a contributor to a good team. And I think as long as the expectations, you know, for the team are kind of in line, no one expects these guys to win a championship. But Dwayne, with or without him, is not going to move that needle. So they'll definitely have to find a balance. I don't think they need to throw away the season. But don't overthink it, is what I would say. Just have some fun with the fact that he's back.
Yeah, that's the key here. I mean, you talked earlier about, you know, is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? How much enemy minutes is he going to get? Is there going to be a maintenance program? We can get into that. They could figure that out, and they're going to figure it out, right? Like, there's a lot that goes involved. Is Deion Waiters even going to be healthy? If he's healthy, is he the starter? Probably, right? And then you kind of go down the line of different issues that you But at the end of the day, I mean, this is very much an emotional. This is going to be a thing where we're kind of like feeling the entire season. Where you're Wade, he's going to have moments where he looks like vintage Dwayne Wade. He's going to have a pump fake that just knocks your socks off. He's going to dunk a couple times and it's going to be amazing. He's going to have those. He might even hit a game winning shot and it'll be great. And so the moments will be there, and that's what's going to make it worth it. And look, the Heat, they're different than those Kobe Bryant Laker teams, right? Because those Kobe Bryant Laker teams were even younger than this Heat team is. They weren't very good. They were very much in transition. While this Heat team is they're in transition, but they're pretty much established with what the roster is. Like, this is kind of what this team is right now, and Dwayne Wade is a part of that. And he said in his 10-minute long video that he mentioned the young guys that he wanted to help kind of take that next step. And so it's good that he's at least recognizing that, where Kobe, I'm not sure he knew what Brandon Ingram's name was. You know, I don't think he knew who the other guys in that locker room were. So it's nice that he's at least recognizing that, and that he's ready to be a part of something bigger, like he kept saying. Now, a lot of that might just be, you know, the script that was written for him or whatever was happening there. And, you know, but I do think that there is part of that there. He does have a relationship with Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson and Bam and all those guys in that locker room that means something. And I think it's really good for the entire team, not just for the fans, right, who want to see Dwayne Wade play again for another 82 games at least, but for that team that really seems to have more confidence and play with more of an edge when Dwayne Wade is in that locker room. I think it's huge for everybody. Whoever wants to take it from there is can go ahead.
Well, I was curious, Rowan. I mean, no, I was curious because, refresh my memory, did you feel that he was coming back, or were you convinced that he was retiring? I can't remember now when you had spoken about it earlier this summer.
I think I was always pretty sure that he'd come back. The idea to give it one more go, and it's not about securing one last deal or anything this time. It's really about just, I think, playing for the love of this game, for the organization to have a chance to get one proper final year in Miami. So in that sense, I always thought he was coming back. I will say, in trying to talk with his people over the summer, they were really coy about it. It really did seem to me like this decision came down to the last minute here, which is a really interesting thing. But I have a question for you guys. Did you watch the whole video?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you guys are better guys than I am, if I'm being honest.
Well, I did have it on 1.5 speed on YouTube.
Okay, the truth came out a little bit there. All right.
So I
could not sit through 10 minutes in that small TV.
I watched it I had it on in the car. So I had my phone in the cup holder, and I just had it on in the car as opposed to just top 40 hits. So that it made it a little bit more. And it was, you know, on the car on the way to sitting down and doing this podcast. So it was last minute that I was able to listen to it. But look, about the video, David and I on this podcast, what's taken so long? We kept getting questions in the mailbag and stuff, like, why is this taking so long? Is Dwayne Wade really not sure if he wants to play? Is it Mickey Arison not sure if he wants to pay the luxury tax? Or is Andy Ellsberg trying to work out this last-minute trade to save money, some luxury tax, and all this stuff? And it turns out that he was just producing this 10-minute-long YouTube video. That's what we were waiting on. I had no idea I wouldn't have bet on that. That's crazy. It's just, like, David, you were talking about, like, the Kobe Bryant comparison there is a little bit of showmanship, right, with this video, with this, like, in the dark by himself single camera kind of thing.
Yeah, what was the hashtag on his t-shirt there? I can't recall what it was.
Spotlight on.
There was no spotlight.
Is that like
he started that a little while ago for like some social awareness things that he was doing? I want to know how long it took him to get that lighting right. Was he reading off a cue card? You know, there's so many questions about the production of that video.
It's very important.
Yeah. I think it was off the cuff. A lot of it was, anyway. I don't know that he goes into it thinking, you know what, I'm going to dedicate 10 minutes to talking about all the different things. Like, he talked about the passing of his friend and the choice to return. I don't know. I mean, maybe there was a structure there in place, but as far as the actual script, quote unquote, I'm not sure there was one.
I think he's just like, these are the things I want to talk about. This is like that one really good point that I've been thinking about the last 24 hours that I'm going to make. And other than that, we'll just see how it goes. Maybe we'll bring Rohan on. I don't know. So we do have to actually talk about, look, we're I think everybody on the podcast is excited to just watch Dwayne Wade. I disagree with you, Rohan. I don't think that I'll be fine if he go 182 as long as Dwayne Wade's putting up 30 shots a game. But they are going to have to – like, Eric Spoelstra's got a job to do, and he's got to figure out how to put Dwayne Wade into the lineup here. We've talked a lot about what this team looks like just in a macro sense, and we've always pretty much included Dwayne Wade in whatever, you know, theories yes. and minute allocation questions that we've gotten. But now this is very real. This team is – with a couple weeks to go into training camp, Eric Spoelstra knows what his roster is basically, right? Because Haslam's coming back. Everybody – like, this is – the gang's back together except for Luke Babbitt. So what are the minutes?
It always gets left out when the season starts.
Well, he'll be back on the team in February. That's how that works. He'll just, but, what does that backcourt look like to you? What should it look like to you?
That's interesting. I honestly have no idea because I think Tyler, Jay Rich, Dion, and Dwayne should all be playing shooting guard. In an ideal world, I don't know how much you want to play Dwayne and Dion together, if at all. You know, Justice, frankly, I think was performing a little bit better last year when Dwayne wasn't on the court, which is interesting to think about. I don't even know where Spo begins. You know, Gorn and Dwayne have been up and down mm-hmm. during their times together. It's a problem that I'm glad is not mine because I don't even really know where you begin here. You know, Wayne also obviously deserves time, and he was part of the best lineups on the team last year. So I'm interested to see, you know, Spo would do that thing sometimes if the team went down maybe 15 in the third quarter. He'd say, I'm going to throw four guards out there and see what happens. Maybe he goes to that a little bit more this year. That's something I'd like to see. I know I just said don't put Dwayne and Dion together, but maybe you have a court where it's Goran, Dwayne, Jay Rich, Dion and Bam, and you're just playing super small for, you know, a few minutes here and there, and you see how that goes, if that can kind of swing games for you. So that's something I would be interested in seeing, but I truly don't know where you really began here.
Do you think he can work out whatever issues he had with Goran? Like, that's a concern, right? I don't know how often they played together over the last half of the season when they were together, but it didn't seem like it was a whole heck of a lot. I kind of feel like they've gone to a point where they understand each other's strengths and weaknesses and know how to adjust a little bit better. But I'm curious if you think the same thing.
Well, I think that they should do. They seem to have it going pretty well. His, you know, Dwayne's first stint in Miami, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think that they were figuring out during that playoff run a little bit more. They looked a little bit better together. If you remember that Hornets series from a couple years ago,
oh yeah,
things looked really well. So I do think they can figure it out, but, you know, it won't be seamless. I think you saw in the playoffs, Dwayne really was effective being kind of that lead guy off the bench. And I think that's a good role for him. He did well doing that in Cleveland also. So that's something I would maybe look forward to more than anything.
Well, people look at the rotation, you say, okay, well, Dion, if he's healthy, slots in as their starting two guard, and Dwayne Wade is the obvious backup for him, but I think Dwayne Wade is the backup for Goran Dragic. I think you have one of those two guys on the court at all times, and you have a savvy veteran type who can lead the offense. But like you said, you know, that starts to step on Justice Winslow's toes a little bit if you really want to use him as that backup point guard, kind of point forward type tweener guy. And Justice Winslow, this is a big deal for him because for an extension, so there's a lot of things that get involved, but overall, you know, talk about how messy this is, but I still think Dwayne Wade has a positive influence on the team, right? I think a lot of maybe Heat fans who, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's younger Heat fans, like, which sounds weird for me to say, but maybe younger Heat fans that just didn't really, I don't know, maybe they remember, like, the 2013-2014 maintenance program Wade as, like, the only Dwayne Wade that they remember, and they're just like, why do we care about this guy so much? I don't, but there's like a kind of like a negative vibe, like, oh, why would we have Dwayne back? He's taking too much time from Josh Richardson and Winslow and Dion and this team really developing. And it's like, no, you just, he's such an important figure, and I really do think he helps the whole hashtag culture and helps that locker room in ways that, I don't know, I'm sounding hokey here, but ways that you can't really measure, you know?
Wes, I hate to bring a negative vibe right now, but I actually got to run.
Okay.
But we obviously had all discussed doing this way back when, so I'm glad that Wade is back. I'm glad that we got back together, you know?
Yes.
It had been a little while.
This is the big three.
You know, I know you guys got a lot of podcast competition in the local market now, so,
ooh,
you know, I'm glad I'm glad that we could get together. All right, guys. But let's talk soon. All right. Yeah. We'll talk all more. Right.
You got to go. Thanks for coming on, Ron.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Hey, thank you for listening. And thanks, Ron, for jumping on while you could. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Also, if you want to contribute to our upcoming written Miami Heat season preview, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/lockedonheat and clicking on that questionnaire link that you'll see when you get to the landing page. It's a cool way to share your thoughts about the Heat's upcoming season with thousands of other Heat fans. And that's it for the stuff to plug today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Thanks for listening. One last thing before you go. If you run a company and you're unhappy with your return from advertising online or in print, try something new and advertise on a podcast here at Locked On Heat. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. More and more people are listening every day. 50% of U.S. households listen to a podcast, and 1 in 5 Americans between ages 18 and 49 listen to at least one a month. That's according to Nielsen. Thanks to the rise in mobile options from iTunes to Spotify and more, to your smart speaker at home, there's more ways than ever to listen to podcasts. Now is the time to get in. Be ahead of your competition and start advertising on a podcast with us. Our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listens, so you get what you pay for, with numbers to back it up. Whereas print, TV, and radio ads are a shot in the dark. You have no idea who is reading, watching, or listening. That's not the case with podcasts. If you want to reach engaged, passionate, and knowledgeable South Floridians, this is the way to do it. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company on the next episode.